It was.
Why couldn't you just say, oh, that's so nice? Well, it's because she asked me. I didn't respond.
Okay, we are at our 11th shir in the Sefer Musar Avicha. Today is the 29th of the month of Iyar, Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, the 21st of May, the 44th day of the Omer. And we're in the middle of page Membeis in the Sefer Musar Avicha by Rav Avram Yitzchak HaKohen Cook. All of the previous shir of the audio is available on the Young Israel website. Thanks to David Chase for putting it up there, and I hope we'll continue that. What we learned last time is a fascinating idea, which really gives a deep insight into the difference in the mode of serving Hashem through tefillah versus the mode of serving Hashem through Torah. And this is an idea that is really, I believe, making available to us, an idea that's in much deeper svarim, but that whereas in Torah, a person is always growing, and his understanding of the Almighty is always different because it's always growing. Tefillah is described as makom. Tefillah has a makom kavua physically, which we learned here. It represents a lot more than just being in the same physical space. Tefillah is makom, in that makom is used. Rashi in the Gemara defines the word makom as relevant to a person's mind being the ultimate complete way that a person sees something. When a dayan has judged a case and you give him overnight to reconsider and he says, I'm still in my makom, that means I've worked it out. This my seichel, this is the way it is, period. It's not changing. So tefillah is makom in that we're supposed to reach a certain level of asoga of Hashem, of understanding Hashem, and every time you go back to tefillah, you're revisiting that place. It's a very beautiful and deep idea, which fits in perfectly, because we understand every time there's some physical aspect of a mitzvah, it must reflect something deeper. If tefillah is supposed to be in a makom kavua, ideally in a set place, that represents, or more than represents, is really an outgrowth of the fact that tefillah itself is in a makom kavua. Now the Gemara that this is all based on fits in with this very beautifully. There's a pasuk in Parshas Vayera, when Hashem is about to destroy Sodom, and Avram Avinu leaps up to daven on their behalf in their defense, and ultimately Hashem says that none of the bargaining, the request cannot be granted. So afterward, it says the next morning Avram came back. He got up and he came back el hamokom asher amad sham, to the place where he was standing. It's from that pasuk that we derive that Avram Avinu instituted the prayers in the morning, shachris. It says he got up in the morning and he went back to his makom. Says the Gemara, makom is tefillah, place is tefillah. At a much deeper level, based on what we're learning now, what that means is because tefillah is your place. A person revisits the same place, the same private relationship with Hashem, which is uniquely yours. But the chiddush here is that it's stationary. It's a certain place. It's revisiting the same place. I don't think that means throughout life. I think you have to first get there. But once you get there, it's supposed to be a set place. Now, the Gemara, based on that's what he's going to be explaining now, in the middle of page Membeis. What the Gemara says is as follows, something in the name of Rav Huna, I don't remember which Chacham quotes the name of Rav Huna, but that he said, anybody who sets a place, kol ha-koveya makom l'tfilasa, who establishes a set place for his tefillah, Elokei Avraham be'ezro, the God of Avram will be at his helping, or will help him. And not only that, says the Gemara, but when he dies, they will say, "A onav, a chassid, what a humble person, what a righteous person, from the students of Avram Avinu." It's one of these difficult gemaras. He's humble, he's righteous, he's a student of Avram Avinu, so I understand this Avram Avinu bit has something to do with the fact that Avram instituted tefillah in a makom, but what is the full meaning of that? So if you look, let's begin from that drop less than halfway down on page Membeis. V'avodazu, we read this line already, but v'avodazu hi mitzad ha-chesed. This service comes from chesed, from righteousness. K'mosh mevur b'reishas chachma shara abba perakei, as is explained in the Sefer Reishas Chachma, which is a sefer by a student of Rav Moshe Cordovero. It actually explains his Kabbalah. that righteousness, chesed, is what Avram Avinu had, and therefore he recognized Hashem. Alkein, therefore, Elokei Avram be'ezer. He's explaining why the Gemara says that a person who's koveya makom for tefillah, the God of Avram will help him, because he's demonstrating the midah of Avram Avinu. Because I left out a piece of it in my little summary just now. He had defined that the basic tefillah, basic avodas Hashem, is supposed to be predicated on hakaras hatov, on just recognizing the good that Hashem does for us. And even though it's tempting and it's even appropriate to try to climb higher than that, that fundament, that foundation has to always be there. I'm currently the beneficiary of so much good. There are higher levels of love of Hashem, but that's a foundation. And he says, that's what did Avram Avinu do? He looked around the world, saw, look, there's some great infinite being who's giving me all of this. I must recognize it, even if the whole world is blind to it. So Elokei Avram be'ezro is the degree to which a person is able to grasp what a beneficiary he or she is. That's your place in tefillah. So that's why, he says, that's the full depth of what our sages meant when they said that a person who's koveya makom for tefillah, he makes a set place for tefillah, the God of Avram will help him. Now he's explaining the next line of the Gemara. I told you, the Gemara says, one who establishes a set place for tefillah, when that person leaves the world, they will say of him, what a humble person, what a chesed, and here we'll take chesed to mean person of chesed. What does that mean? Shelo noma, that we should not say, shemalas hachasidus hidafka ba'avodas ha'ava hayoser roma. I'll summarize and then read it. There are many levels of Avas Hashem, of being drawn and so overwhelmed, and having an overwhelming love for Hashem that are considered higher than merely saying, well, he gave me so much, and I have to, quote-unquote, return the favor, I have to serve him. There are higher levels. But what he's teaching us here is that a person is never supposed to, sometimes you have people who jump over the basics, we're never supposed to abandon that base. The foundation is always supposed to be a solid and strong feeling of hakaras hatov. So in a certain sense, it's humility. It's humility to daven without going into the higher level. But say, this alone, just the fact that I'm such a beneficiary from him, of his, is enough reason. So the humility is to not to try to daven with higher feelings and levels, but to make it based on this basic notion of hakaras hatov. That's what he says here, that we shouldn't say that the great attribute of chassidus is only when you have these high level ahava, shemitzad hachochma, shemaker begedulos yisbarach, that from a great chochma he recognizes the greatness of Hashem, nimshach acharav kabarzal achar even shows that he's drawn after him like a magnet. That is in fact a higher level. But if a person says, I can only serve Hashem at these high levels, not at the basics, that's actually arrogance. There can be arrogance or haughtiness in the way I serve Hashem too, because, I'm at the higher level service of Hashem. So ironically, he's saying there's something great about serving Hashem just at the basics, with the basic approach. This is like a run-on sentence. This is all description of what a person might say. This is how he should serve Hashem. In a way that I have to, it couldn't be any other way. I'm so overwhelmed with this feeling. Rather, he has the recognition that from serving Hashem out of a love that's simply based on hakaras hatov, recognizing good that he does for me, that's also chesed. That's also the midah of chesed. And it's even better because at the end he'll reach the higher levels. She'ena l'fi ha'tovos, which is not based on the good things that I received from him. This is fascinating, by the way, because I mentioned last time that the Chovos Halvavos predicates service of Hashem on gratitude. In almost every chapter, he says, when he introduces him, that when a person serves Hashem, which comes from a feeling that he has, that he's such a beneficiary of God's goodness, he should do this, that's how he almost leads into every discussion. It's repeated in the Chovos Halvavos numerous times, and I mentioned to you last time that the Rambam predicates love of Hashem on something else, on just seeing the greatness of Hashem. Not so much what I received from him, but I look at this universe, one cell. You could spend your whole life studying one cell, one atom, one molecule, or you could spend your life studying the world is so vast and so great, and his Torah is infinite wisdom. So the Rambam bases the approach to Hashem on wisdom, and just the chokhmah we see all around us. The Chovos HaLevavos bases it on gratitude. He gives me everything. And I've mentioned, and people talk about this distinction. If you read what he's saying here carefully, he seems to be saying that chokhmah is the higher level. They're not really arguing. The Chovos HaLevavos is talking about the basics. The Rambam is, and after a person has that, then he looks at the world and he studies God's chokhmah, and now he's just overwhelmed, he's infatuated. It's more than just gratitude, it's an infatuation.
Okay.
What Rav Kook is saying is, but it's wrong to jump to that second level and gloss over the foundation. Every time I step up to tefillah, it should be with that foundational level. And he's saying a fascinating thing, that a person who serves Hashem that way, he stays in his makom. Keep it basic. God gives me everything, I'm therefore davening to him. When I keep it basic, that's a good way to daven, and it's humility. It's humility that I don't have to daven at such a high level. I daven like a baby. I'm a baby, I'm getting something, I'm saying thank you, that's it.
Yeah. So what he's saying is it has to come from a personal level first, and then it goes to more an intellectual level instead of the other way around.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to call it personal versus intellectual.
More personal, like what I have, like I had the breakfast this morning. So
you're right, in a certain way. I think your characterization is somewhat correct, that personal is what I got. Chochmah is not me. If I'm studying about his world,
right,
that's not
right.
necessarily
that has to
me.
Come
yeah.
later. If it, if
yeah,
it's the
to
opposite,
a certain degree, chochmah is also personal because it's my understanding. But
right. But it's more like look
yeah,
at the
more
the,
looking outside. Right.
Right.
So this is the idea of kviyas makom, of a set place in tefillah. And again, it's a very difficult Gemara. All the commentators want to know, well, why is it that Gemara says if he, a person who makes a set place for his davening, when he dies, they'll say he was very humble. It seems like a total non sequitur. Rav Kook is explaining at a very deep level what it means. It's that he's willing to daven at a makom. I told you I always quote this Rosh Mikinon, Rav Shimshon of Kinon, one of the great Rishonim, who was a Kabbalist, who said, after all the deep things I studied about the Almighty, when I daven like a baby. Just, and that's somewhat this idea. Yeah.
So people take this to mean, and maybe it also means this, that you need to have a physical place to stand in, to daven.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So it's the same thing that, I mean, you also have to have, if you're at home,
it's,
you daven at home,
ideal
should
to have
should
a
the
set
same.
Place.
And
yeah.
is that because it'll just, it's an easier way to bring you to the same mindset?
Well, what I'm explaining here is that every halacha has its surface reasons and it has its deeper reason. Yeah, there's halacha, that it's ideal to daven in makom kavua. Try to daven in a set place. What we're seeing here, and it's not Rav Kook's novel idea, he's taking it from other svarim, is that there's a very deep concept about prayer at large that's lying behind that. Tefillah is makom. And you almost sense it right away in the Gemara. With the Gemara that derives the fact that Avraham Avinu instituted the morning prayers from the fact that it says he returned to his place, v'ein makom ela tefillah. I didn't actually quote the Gemara, right, but that's the idea of it. That Avram returned to the place where he was standing. Where the Gemara says to the place where he was standing, and standing means tefillah. But the point is, it's talking about going back to a makom, and thereby talking about tefillah shows you there's something deep about makom and tefillah. Okay, but yeah, of course, it has its practical. Every mitzvah, the action of the mitzvah, is the tip of the iceberg. But what's behind it, you see here. So that's humility, because he's not seeking higher level. I'll only serve Hashem at these very high level.
Rabbi, wouldn't the Rambam have assumed this as the first step?
That's
my impression of him was that he was a very humble person.
Yeah.
From everything we've learned.
I'm sure the Rambam was a very humble person, and he speaks about humility in many places. I'm suggesting that his saying we should approach loving Hashem through Chochmah means even beyond Hakaras HaTov, but that he also would hold you have to have the foundational Hakaras HaTov. Another suggestion you could say, I think some people view it this way, is just a different approach. Love of gratitude is one thing. Love comes from this infatuation by looking at the world. What I'm saying is that the Rambam would also, I'm suggesting perhaps he would say that he would also agree it's two steps, and he would agree to step one before step two also. Just to continue, we're 2, 4, 6, 7 lines from the bottom. Ki ein, on page Membeis. Ki ein, Yosef tov mi yedias shmo hagala, because there's nothing greater than knowing his great name. That's the higher level. Avas Hashem, love of Hashem, when you want to really relate somewhat to the Almighty. Ma tov narach lo. V'hu, and that's what it means, a anav, what a humble person. Shelo hisgar, that he wasn't arrogant, proud, lomar, to say, shezos hamala p'chusa mimena. This is lower than me. Yes, gratitude, but that's, I'm not going to do what the kindergartner does. I'm at a higher level than that. Ki ha'odam tzarech sheyedatam. So why, in fact, should he be humble? Why should he not think that way? Because man has to always know, ki im kol gadluso, gidulaso, that with all of his greatness, lo yitzdak lifnei bora, he is not righteous before his creator. Ki, because, quote from a pasuk from Iyov, v'kadoshev lo yamin. Hashem does not have faith even in his holy ones.
That's not true.
No human being can live up to Hashem's standard. The human condition by definition is that he falls short. Moshe, the great Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say if Hashem were exacting with absolute din, even with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they couldn't make it. You see, by the way, in the footnote, Yud Ches, it quotes the Gemara Chagiga, it says, I think Rabbi Akiva, one of the Chachamim who would read this used to cry, because even the great ones are not fully reliable to Hashem. So this is a constant balance. A person grows and feels good about his growth and his knowledge, and I have such great love of Hashem. But this lesson is telling us, but when you daven, just fall back on the basics, hakaras hatov. Don't make it predicated on your understanding of him and your yearning for him, because that's not complete. It's necessarily faulty.
So you never arrive, so to speak. You're always on the process.
Certainly never arrive, but even our process could be less.
But even the great ones never.
Having gratitude, that's a full thing. I fathom him, I relate to him that we can be overconfident. Al Kain, therefore, la'olam yakten atzmo, he should always make himself small. V'yishtadol liknos midas ha'ava gam kein mitzad godol chesed habari baruch hu olav. And he should seek to acquire the trait of avas Hashem, also simply from the recognition of the chesed of the Creator upon us. He's saying work with that basic notion. Yeah, we should always be trying to feel drawn after Hashem and see his chachma and be inspired and infatuated therefrom, but don't never leave the basic feeling of Hakar Satov. Tefillah should be that makom, that set place of Hakar Satov. Hashem, you do so much for me, I'm thankful. Shu yoser poshut v'karuv l'tziyuro. It's more simple and closer to, tziyuro means his picture, but it means his imagination, what he's able to see. In other words, the abstract concepts may be higher, but they're also more subtle, and they're not as solid. He's saying gratitude is a solid way to approach Hashem. Feeling that I understand Chachma and I'm drawn to him that way, it inspires more, but it's also more in the luft. It's not as firmly established.
So it's good, too, to have a sense of vulnerability, in a sense.
Yeah, it's a whole other concept. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. But he's saying gratitude is solid. Gratitude is what you base it. And we shum, and from there, lalos l'gdulas hanefesh. Because this can happen sometimes. We're working so hard to climb onto a higher rung that we actually forget the lower rung. So he's saying never abandon that foundational principle of hakaras hatov. That should always be your first feeling and your strongest feeling in tefillah. And from there, when your foot is firmly planted on that ground, then to seek to rise up to the Gedulas HaNefesh of Emidas Ava Rabba. When we talk about Ava Rabba, great love, that's higher level. Love Mitzad HaKaras Rama Musa Yisbara, from the recognition of his loftiness. Ubazeh Yia Shafel Ba'enav. And by so doing, he will be lowly in his own eyes, meaning the person will be lowly in his own eyes. B'tzarcho L'ayin Tomid. When it is necessary for him, from the fact that it is necessary for him to constantly see or look at shekol ma shehu shalo, that everything that is his, v'hu ba'atzmo, and he, him, very self, his very self, I don't know how to say that in English, but he very self, however you say, einam ki im shefa ha'chesed shelakel ha'tov baruch, who is nothing but like a conduit of bounty of kindness from the good God, blessed be he. Doesn't sound the same in English. Lochein, therefore, and that this last line is a summary. This is like one of these statements. You could take it out as a an aphorism. Torah mechuvenes l'ava rabba shehi chaye olam. I'm going to read the whole thing together and then break it up. But Torah mechuvenes l'ava rabba shehi chaye olam mitzag d'losa v'chachmasa yisparach. Utfila chaye shah mitzad shefa tavosa v'chasta yisparach. He's defining Torah versus, in contrast to tefillah. Torah is ava rabba. It's climbing higher. Seeing new things in Chochmah that make us drawn after this great infinite being. Tefillah is based on the simpler but more solidly planted, just what's God done for me, meaning what I've been getting from him. And he's alluding to really two Gemaras. Well, one Gemara, the Gemara in Shabbos. Again, the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos and Daf Yud that we keep referring back to, when Rav Hamnuna was davening for a long time into the time that usually would have been allocated for learning, and Rava says that look at people who abandon Chaye Olam, eternal life, and engage in Chaye Shah, get caught up in ephemeral life. Many different things that can be said about that Gemara, but it's conveying a deep truth and insight about tefillah and Torah, respectively. He's saying Torah is constantly climbing higher, and chokhmah, and I'm almost escaping my being. It's chayolam. I'm going into the world of neshamos. Tefillah is, insofar as I exist in this world, I need things. My neshama is not really so interested in whether I had food today, whether this problem I was taking care of. The neshama is eternal and lives beyond all those things. But so long as I'm a human being with a physical existence in this world, I have needs. So tefillah, the Gemara calls it chaye shah, it's ephemeral life. Tefillah is chaye shah. What do you mean when I go to Acme, that's chaye shah? When I'm davening, that's... No, because the davening is supposed to be the simple approach. It's my yearning to Hashem, but from within my olam hazeh existence. And that's why I keep it basic. He gives me things... I have immeasurable gratitude. I should have immeasurable gratitude. Oh, what about this deep idea and that deep idea? And I'm so... No. Let's not get into that. Stay at your makom. Tefillah is a makom kavua. Tefillah is a constant. Torah is always climbing higher. Tefillah, just like tefillah in the physical halachic sense, is ideally supposed to have a set place, so too in the conceptual behind it, tefillah is a set place in your soul. It's you daven this morning, you visited Hashem from your point of view of gratitude to him. A few hours later in the day, or whenever the next time person dies, I'm back there again. I'm stepping back to my makom. In Torah, it's never the same. Torah is b'chol yom yu b'einecha kachadoshim. Chazal say every day Torah is supposed to be new. He even spoke about that a little earlier in the Sefer. But tefillah is revisiting the same place, and there's a humility in that. There's a humility, again, from the Rabbeinu Shimshon of Kinon, that even though I've learned so much, I daven like a baby. There's a profound concept behind that, and I understand a lot better having seen this idea from Rav Kook. So in a word, two words, tefillah, makom. Okay, now tefillah is makom. I think we understand that more deeply. Okay, which brings us to Os Dalid on page Mem Gimel. Now we're going to see something deep.
Oh my goodness, like a moron.
I want you to know, I do grapple myself and when I teach other people with, should we learn Svarim that can be understood at a more basic level? Or should we learn Svarim that can only be understood? In other words, you can learn the Mesilas Yesharim and take basic things from it. I say it like this, you can only understand if you plumb the depths. I think they're both important. I wouldn't spend all of Musar learning on this type of Sefer, but I think what this does is it teaches, and he made this point. So when you learn something else from the earlier, more terse, great authors, you look at it with different eyes. If I can just turn pages and Masilas Yesharim like this, it means I'm not getting it, which is what he said a few pages ago. This trains us, and this happened with all the great Chacham, the one with the men, Rabbi Rucham Levavitz, it's the same thing. It makes you look at the earlier works with a totally different perspective. So there's benefit from it. I think it's good to study the classics in general more, and because they can be taken at different levels. Sometimes even if we don't get to the full depth of what they mean, sometimes it's easier and sometimes even maybe more applicable. But I think there's value in seeing just how deeply Chachma Yisrael read and understood Achavos Halvavos or Rambam or Masilas Yesharim and so on. So I think there is value in this. Although I do struggle sometimes. Maybe we should take something that reads a little easier. But there's value in both. I hope you'll agree. Let me try to summarize for you what's coming here so it'll be a little clearer. The next few pages are really just a commentary on one idea in Pirkei Avos. You should not be like servants who serve the master to receive a reward. You should be like servants who serve the master not to receive a reward. But what he's going to develop, he's going to really pose a question and try to address the answer. The question, if I understand it correctly, really is nothing, no being can seek greatness if it isn't his own. Or to put it differently, I think we, even in our religious lives, and even in our most inspired religious lives, seem to be violating that Mishnah all the time. Don't you want to make your neshama as great as it can be? Put on this earth, man has the greatest options. He can lower himself and debase himself to be almost like a beast, and he can elevate himself and purify his neshama and seek chachma and goodness and purify his soul. We want to become the best we can be, but that's for me. Al manas l'kad, aren't we doing the opposite of that Mishnah? We want to make ourselves great, not in an arrogant way or a bad way, but isn't that what it's all about? You're given a neshama. You can go this way, you can go that way. Make it great. Purify it. Bring it to its highest potential. Isn't that what we want? Isn't everything about human yearning? Don't we? Isn't that what it's all about? But the Mishnah is saying, and there are numerous other statements of our sages that seem to say that shouldn't be your interest. And he's almost going to ask the question, how is it possible to be any other way? Any being has a sense of self promotion, preservation. Again, we're not supposed to do it in a way that's just to achieve material gain, but isn't that within every person's basic being, is that they want to perfect themselves? We're not supposed to channel it into ephemeral things, but we are supposed to channel it into spiritual things. And what's wrong with that? Isn't that what it's all about? Should I seek the greatness of something that's not me? I mean, that's the question he's going to ask. And in a word, what he's going to answer is that the greatness that is achieved when one purifies himself to the world at large, and kivayacha, we don't really understand it, but the quote-unquote nachas ruach, the pleasure, again, and we use that word only anthropomorphically, but the pleasure we give the Almighty should so dwarf anything that our own private neshama benefits from that we can't even think about the latter. That's basically going to be his answer. I think I may have oversimplified it, but he's going to talk, and what emerges from this is that we're really ultimately supposed to have in mind not even our own development. The effect of our perfecting ourselves on something much larger than ourselves is so much greater that the inspiration we have from being able to do that almost dwarfs and makes us forget about what we're doing to our personal self. It happens to be true that by pursuing greatness, we become great, but the effect of that on a much larger scale, should, if we truly understood Chachma, makes it impossible to even focus on the private part of it, on the personal part. That's what he's going to say. So let's see.
Rabbi, so is it that this should be a byproduct of the striving, but we should keep on striving anyway, or else the sultan can get in there and undermine us?
What should be a byproduct?
The feeling of having grown and achieved. Instead of being the goal, that it's the byproduct.
Right. Yeah, but what he's going to say is that if we really understood the wisdom of Hashem properly, we wouldn't even be able to think about it. Because there's a much greater effect that we would be so inspired to have a role in,
right,
that a little personal part, it wouldn't show up on the radar screen. It wouldn't register. But to actually feel that and process that, I think requires great wisdom. So let's see what he says. Dalut shleimus ha'avoda me'ava l'rotzon Hashem bilvad. Completion of service of Hashem out of love for the will of Hashem alone, which really summarizes what I just said. It's the completion is when it's really for the will of Hashem, not for my own development and my own greatness. Berosh Dvar, at the beginning of his words, Kosov HaChosid V'Sefer Mesil Zisharim. The great Rav Moshe Chaim Litzata, the author of Mesil Zisharim, who was just one of these godsends to the world. He didn't live to the age of 40, and yet he authored all these works of immeasurable chachma. Mesil Zisharim is the most readable of them, but Kabbalah and depth. So he writes that this is basically a quote. She Yisod HaChasidus V'Shorosh HaAvoda. That the foundation of righteousness and the root of service of Hashem, you'll notice those four words, Yisod HaChasidus V'Shar Shavodah, start with the letters Yud and Kei and Vav and Kei, the name of Hashem, respectively. There's an old concept in Svarim to begin a work with the name of Hashem that way, sort of embedded in the first four words. Shor Shavodah Tamima, the root of full and complete service of Hashem. These are the words of the Mesilas Yesharim. She is barer v'yis ames etzel ha'adam, that it should be clear and confirmed in truth to man. Macho v'aso ba'olama, what is his obligation in the world? Ulema tzarech shiyosim mabato megamoso b'chol asher hu amal kol yimechayv. And to what does he have to put his sights and his goal in all that he toils all the days of his life? That's a quote from the Mesilas Yesharim. If you look, it sounds like he's saying two things. He doesn't just say a person has to have it very clear what his obligations are. Then he says, and to what he should put his sights and his yearning. It sounds like a second. He's not just rephrasing the same thing in different words. It sounds like a second point. And says Rav Kook, it is. He taught us with this two, and Ikar is a core principle, a very important principle. Shebi'aron b'mamar derech chochma asher lo, that he explained them in his maimar, you want to call it an essay or whatever you want to, but in a sefer called derech chochma. The Rav Moshe Chaim Litzata has a sefer called derech chochma, which is a conversation. It's a dialogue between a Rebbe and a Talmud, literally phrased that way. The Rebbe says this, the Talmud says this. The Talmud is basically saying to the Rebbe, I want to learn, I want to do the right thing, and then the Rebbe doesn't give him such an easy time. He's just saying, well, what are your motivations? What's driving you? You'd be amazed how contemporary it sounds in terms of, let's analyze what are your real motives here. And it's an amazing thing. There's obviously great chachma in it. So that's exactly what happens there in that sefer. He says, if you read the sefer there in the Derech Chachma, you then understand what he means in Mesilas Yesharim, which is as follows. Ki inyan chovasenu. The concept of our obligation, just have to warn, you have to be careful in these terms. Sometimes he's really trying to get to the second part of a sentence, but he'll still elaborate on the first part at length, and you could almost lose what he's getting at. What he's getting at is, it's not just what you have to do, it's why you want to do it. But the next few lines are about what you have to do. The matter of our obligation is kol ha'masim ha'tovim, all of the good deeds, v'chol ha'midos ha'tovus, and all of the good traits, v'chein kol ha'amunos ha'amitios, and all of the true beliefs, v'ikar ha'kol ha'asaga ha'amitis, and the main of all of it is the correct understanding, having true chachma, really understanding things. Kifi chok adam per, I'll translate as the per the limitations of man, because God's wisdom is infinite. Our ability to understand may be very great, but it's ultimately finite, which makes it very small. B'shleimus habarius baruch, and the completion, the greatness of the Creator. Uvahan hagoso, and the way he quote-unquote interacts with the world. Ubedrach of hayisharim, and the straightness of his ways. Shehu manig bohemis b'riyosev, that by them, by those midos, he conducts the affairs of his creatures, of people. That was all the first part of the sentence. Avol. Kol ha-tachlis hazeh. I mean, by the way, and he meant all those things seriously. It's the midos, it's the beliefs, it's the understanding. Those are all, of course, important. Avol kol ha-tachlis hazeh. All of this, the goal of all this, shel ha-masim ha-tovim, of the good deeds, Vadai shelo yavo lishleimus, and they certainly will not come to their completion. Ki im betohar akavana, but with the purity of the intent. Kavana is really what your goal is, the underlying motive. Ella, this is like ve'ela, meaning, but it must be as follows: shegam halimud ve'ha'iyun bedvarim ha'elokim, even the study and the analysis of these godly things, im yiye kidei lahashkit tima'on nafsho hamaskelas, if it will be, in order to quell the thirst of his. The, I don't know how to translate the nafsho hamaskelas. The soul relates to seichel, to sichli thing, to wisdom. If it's, it is a poor translation, but we'll say if it's just to quench the thirst of his intellectual soul, shemishtokekes lodas dvarim gedolim, that yearns to know great things, which is very true. The mind wants to understand. The mind sees wisdom and has a great thirst. Wow, look at that. This wisdom, I've never understood that. It's a great thirst. It's a greater thirst even than physical thirst. But if he's doing all of it because he has a great intellectual, even spiritual thirst, lo yovo letachlas klal. It's a pretty shocking statement. He will not come to the goal. Now, I do think that's an important step along the way, but what we're learning is that that's not the ultimate. Ki im tia megamoso lasas nachas ruach liyotzer. Rather, his goal should be, nachas ruach literally means like a pleasant, make things pleasant, which, again, anytime we talk about the Almighty, we don't mean it literally, but to make things pleasant for his Creator, to give him nachas, quote unquote. Shehu yisbarach tziva osan, that he, blessed be he, commanded us, v'chasto v'rachamov, in his chesed and his rachamim, l'hashlimenu v'shlemus hagadol l'hazu, to make us complete in this great completion, shel hasogos yediyoso yisbarach. It's not that, it's maybe true that I yearn to know the Almighty God, but he also commanded me to know him. And it should be the latter. It should be because he created a world where that is the goal, not just because I feel it. V'zehu inyan ha-mabot u'megamas ponim shezochakan. In the second part of Maseilas Yesharim's statement, his opening statement, where he says, and to what he should put his goals and his sights, which sounds like something independent of what are my obligations, says Rav Kook, what that means is, not just what I should be doing, but what should be my ultimate motivation for it. Says Rav Kook, if I don't have that motivation, if the motivation behind it is to quench my spiritual thirst, not to do the will of Hashem, I will fall short of the goal. He says, very short. But I don't think he means that to be easily understood. He's going to phrase it as a question soon. I think he means that paragraph to be troubling. V'ro'i levayr inyan ha'avoda me'ahava. It is appropriate to explain the concept of serving Hashem out of love. He means serving Hashem out of love means out of love of Hashem, not out of wanting to quench my thirst. You know, we have to explain what I just said. U'l'shem asiyas nachas ruach, that abbreviation is that word that he just used before, nachas ruach liyotzo, and for the sake of making a nachas ruach to his creator, Gam l'havonas ketane haseichel kamoni. We have to explain it even for people of such small intellect as myself. I give us all a bracha. We should have such a small intellect as Rav Avraham Yitzchak Cohen Cook, about whom you could literally say kol raz lo anis, like there was nothing hidden in Torah that he hadn't studied and understood. But that tells you he's not. This is not false humility. That tells you something about the depth of the Torah. He says, this is obviously a much deeper concept, but I'm going to try to explain it to people of my ilk, because it's not a full understanding, but let's do our best. That's Rav Kook talking, okay? Ki rabim lo yardu l'omek advarim, because many people have not gotten down to the depth of the matters. What's bothering them? Here's the question. Eich titochen ahava shel ezer shlemus im lo tia mitzad ha'osa ba'atzmo. How can there be a love of reaching completion if the completion isn't of the one doing it. Everything seeks to be complete, to reach its potential, to make the most of itself. In a good way, again, not in a haughty way, and not pursuing vanity, but if you look at the world, every creature has its ideal. Each thing should wonder, you would think, everything wants to reach its ideal state of being. If a human being has a mind and a neshama, should want to purify it. I mean, what's wrong with that? Again, he's going to elaborate on the question. Let me clarify the way I understand what's happening in this next paragraph so it doesn't confuse you also. He's phrasing a question and he's saying, granted, I don't have a problem with this, but that I have a problem with. What's the this and what's the that? What he's going to say is, certainly I can understand that we should seek to serve Hashem and to reach completion per what he knows to be completion, not what we think. He knows better. Rav Kook is saying, that I don't have a problem with. But at least the completion should be mine. I want to reach my fullest potential. I understand if you tell me that I don't really know what that is and he knows better, fine. But it at least should be about my being reaching its fullest potential. The problem is this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos and numerous other teachings of our sages say, no, you shouldn't even want to be completing yourself. You should be doing it for the completion of something else. What he's saying is that we all intuitively feel, how can that be? Every being seeks to complete itself. Granted, I don't know so well, so I'll ask the manufacturer. You tell me what's the best way to complete myself, but it should ultimately be about myself. My neshama should want to reach its fullest potential. Granted, according to the way he says it, not the way my mind sees it. But it should ultimately be about me. But I have this mission, I have this teaching of the Torah, that no, it shouldn't be about you at all. Does that make any sense? That's what he's asking. Okay? I hope this is sufficiently deep. Top of Mem Dalet. Emes Hadavar. When he said Emes Hadavar means the matter is true, he means that granted. He's saying the yeshivas, Enachanami. Enachanami means, yeah, it's true. Just have to break for a second to tell you a brief entertaining story, especially when we reach this type of depth where I don't want anybody's mind to overheat. But I have a friend in yeshiva who's telling me that his sister went out on a date and she came back after the date and she said to her brother, what does enachinami mean?
What does
enachinami mean? And he says, it means basically you're right, I accede to what you're saying. In means yes, hachinami means yes, indeed so. So it is. She says, oh. She went on a date with this yeshiva man, and everything she said, she thought enachinami meant like one could disagree with that. So everything she said, he said, enachinami. So she thought, like, such a difficult, argumentative person. So she had to like play back the whole. So it's important to know what enachinami means.
Date
so,
two.
Right.
Will there be one?
He had such a kick at it. Anyway. But that's why it's good to speak English also. Emes Hadavar, the matter is true, or in simple English, Enachanami. I agree with you. Sheledas Mahu Shlemus Amiti, to know what is true completion, Vitova Shel Emes, and what is true goodness, Das Kol Maven Tekavel, that the mind of any understanding person will accept, She'en La'odam La'havina Alburya, that man can't understand it on its properly. Because it's possible for the Almighty to do incredible goodness, and he can fix the soul to receive the mashalo yitzuyer klal, what the person couldn't have imagined. In other words, if my neshama senses, this would be my ideal, this would be my highest level. But since we're cooking, yeah, but any intelligent person feels, but Hashem can make your neshama into a larger receptacle that could now receive more. What do you think happens with these great chachamim who seem to have just been able to process and understand more than we can understand scientifically? And because Hashem makes the receptacle bigger at a certain point. So I shouldn't define my shlemus, my state of completion, based on the way I see it, because God can make it greater than that. So Rav Kook says, I get that. That I understand. Don't define what my ultimate shlemus is, my ultimate completion is by my intuition and understanding of it, make it based on his. And that should be what I daven for, and that should be what, fine, that I understand. Al kein, and therefore, aleinu bevada livchar, we should definitely choose lasos kol ma'asena, to do all of our actions, kefi ashleimos ha'amita, shehu yisbarach yodea, per the completion and greatness that he knows. Shehu shleimos nivchar, that's the choicest shleimos. Shleimos means completion. Vim na'ases ma'asena l'shem shleimos she'anu mitzayirim, if we will do our actions, if we'll follow per the greatness of what we envision, to be mitzayir means to make a picture, O maskilim, O so dafka, or what we think of, what our seichel leads to, vada anu mamatim ba'amita sakavana, we're certainly reducing the true goal. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah?
For the receptacle to be bigger, then sort of your ego has to be smaller, so to speak. In other words, the idea of self has to be smaller. Is that kind of what
I'm saying? Yeah, I mean, he's not getting into how the receptacle can become bigger. He's just saying, you know, if there's the manufacturer who made the thing, and then there's somebody who's just using it, doesn't know how to work it, doesn't know how to adjust it, who has a better idea of how to make it function optimally? I'd rather go with Hashem's definition of how great I can be than with my definition of how great I can be. What you're getting to say, how do I get there? All right, that's something else. But just like we couldn't grasp when we were in utero, in the womb of our mothers, or even when we were sucklings, even when we were babies, or even a little bit older, coming on in years. When you're a little kid, you can't fathom es erke hatovos harabos sheyod lanu hachonin v'racham yisbarach, all the value and the greatness of all the goodnesses, the abundant greatnesses that were visited upon us by the benevolent and good one. Ko'es minachlas Hashem banu, okay, using a phrase from a pasuk, v'chol kinyan, and every acquisition. Ubefrat, and particularly Noam HaChachma, the pleasantness of Chachma, benachas, ruach shalasiyas tov, and the joy we get of doing good, v'chesed, v'yicholus lezeh, and the ability to do these things. Does a kid understand the joy of understanding the Sefer? Does a baby, does a child understand the joy of doing a chesed, of bringing goodness to the world? Just like a baby can't understand those concepts, kemokain, similarly, ain anu yechol letzayir as godol hatovish osid lan chilena belachtena bedroch of letovlan. So too, we can't envision the great goodness that is destined for us to be given to us as an inheritance when we go in His ways. In other words, if Hashem says, do these things, and you'll have greatness that you can't fathom, I'll take His word for it. V'chein yod lanu kol anaviyim kemat, and that's what all of the prophets, almost without exception, v'chazal and achachamim, tell us. The pasuk ayin lo ra'as olokim zolos, nobody can envision olam haba. We don't have the terminology, we don't have the concepts. V'haseichel hayasher masig amitas hadavar ma'od, a straight seichel understands and grasps the truth of what we just said. So Rav Kook is saying, don't misunderstand my question. I don't mean that I should define what human greatness is. I understand that Hashem defines it and He knows better. And there are concepts that the same way I couldn't grasp adult concepts when I was an infant, I can't grasp certain neshama concepts when I'm limited in this world. I understand that. I will mokom hashayla, but the place of the where I do have a question, and he's getting back to his original question, that all of those lines that we just read from the top of the page, which is to tell you, I'm not asking this. What I'm asking is that, the following. Mokam ha'shela hi lefum riyata, where there is a question, it's as follows. Lefum riyata, when you look at it superficially, ki kol ma shetagdil v'tadir es inyan hatov ha'gadol. All the more you make great and mighty this great good that Hashem has for us. Aval sof kol sof. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, as we'd say in English, ech tia megamas ponim shel kol poel, El tov shaholich lo lo. How can any doer have as a goal a good that doesn't come to him? I don't have a problem saying I want to become great, but not by my definitions, by definitions that Hashem has, which I don't relate to now. So it's a little bit difficult, because to me it looks like this would make me great, but Hashem says, no, follow this path and it'll be much greater for you. So take some faith, because I don't see it, but that I understand. But says Rav Kook, but that's only when ultimately the greatness will be me. So he's telling me that it looks to you like this will make your neshama great. Don't do that way. Do this way and your neshama will be much greater. Okay, I'm willing to take that, to accept that from him, because he knows better. But then when you tell me, no, don't be seeking to make your neshama great at all, that's not the goal, What he's saying is, that isn't every being seeking to perfect itself? Isn't that what it's all about? Don't we intuitively feel that with every fiber of our being? How can you be going toward a good that's not yours? V'im ken, here's the question. And if so, ech ginu chazal, to be meganes, to deride or to denigrate, to speak negatively. Why did Chazal speak negatively? As ha'oved almanas l'kabel pras, about somebody who serves Hashem to receive a pras as a prize, a reward. You see in the footnote, it's from the first chapter, the beginning of Pirkei Avos. And that's not the only place we have this teaching. For Amru Od, and they said furthermore, the Pasuk says, b'mitzvosav chafetz ma'od, a person who desires his mitzvos very much. Chazal make a derusha on that, a derivation. V'lo b'schar mitzvosav, not for the reward of the mitzvos. I should just want his mitzvos, not the effect of the mitzvos. Why not? Aren't I supposed to perfect myself to the degree possible? It's a very negative thing. The Zohar talks about this idea. It's a very big genus, a negative thing. All good that they do, it uses this term about others, and it's considered very critical. Other nations in the world, and whatever it might be, but all good that they do, Gimel Reish Mem is the translation of etzem, self, or bone, in Aramaic. So they do it for themselves. All good that they do for themselves, they do. And the great Mekubalim, the great Kabbalists, he says right at length about this. Those who have come to Sod Hashem, the Mekubalim understand secrets of Hashem, they write about this problem at length. So again, the question, he said in a lot of ways, but at a simple level, the question is, what does it mean that I'm not supposed to be working for my own shleimus, for my own development? How can any being seek to pursue greatness that's not his own greatness? Okay, yeah, I'm not supposed to pursue ephemeral greatness, understand, and arrogant of that, but to become truly great, isn't that what it's all about? Isn't that what the Neshama wants to do? So we'll just read on a little bit. We're not going to be able to finish it. Avol kasher nis yashev ma'at, but when we, to be b'yishev means to reach a state of yishev adas, equilibrium. When you see things clearly, if we'll be misyashiv a little bit, if we think about it clearly and work it out, nira we will see, shederach ha-seichel hu, she'ein lo shleimus kiyim im ha-yosher. What's the, Hashem gave us this great seichel, a mind, an intellect. It is from the very characteristics of pure intellect, of the true seichel, to not be happy with anything that's not true, that's not straight, that's not correct. So again, I'm going to paraphrase also, because pure seichel tells me that I shouldn't want my own development. Because he's going to give a mushel in a second. Because the effect that my development, if I develop properly, will have on the greater good is so great and so outshines it that the seichel says, oh, forget about me. If it does all that, I'm so happy to have a role in that. And I'm not even thinking about myself anymore. So as a byproduct, by pursuing that great and grand goal, my neshama will be elevated. But the elevation of my own personal neshama is a tiny dot and a great masterpiece. That's what he's going to say.
Sort of like less than the dogma, so to speak. Hmm? You know, less than the dogma, you know what I mean? Less than the concepts that you think in your mind of what is, and just be more open to what really is.
Well, no, it's about dogma, but it's about that there's a much greater picture here. That true, in a vacuum, my seichel wants to reach the highest level of seichel. But when my seichel realizes that it's part of a bigger picture, which is the greatness of the olamos, the world, God's world at large, the seichel says, that's much better. So he says, "Vahasechel." He's going to give a mushel to this in a second. "Vahasechel im ha'yosher hu shleimus ha'nefesh kimo shahachayim im kol tzarkei achayim hu shleimus laguf." This is a mushel I don't understand fully, but I think I get it. Sechel with straightness, the ability to think with straight thought, is completion of the soul. Just like life with the things you need for life are completion for the body. Notice, if I'm alive, thank God, Baruch Hashem, I'm alive, but where's the food? Where's the maintenance? If I don't have the things that I need to stay alive, so it's very nice to have life, but I don't have what that life needs. If I have a seichel that can think, but you don't let it think straight, you corrupt it. It's very nice to have a mind, but it's corrupted. The mind needs straightness like the body needs food and all the other things that we need physically. So Nira, when you realize that, Nira she'en roi klal la'odam ben da she'yeh ovedes Hashem Yisbaruch zu losi me'ava. Once you realize that, you'll recognize that it's not appropriate for a person who has das to serve Hashem anything but, zulasi means anything but, ahava, out of love. Velasos nachas ruach liyotzro. And to make, again, it's not literal, but a nachas to his creator, lamali ritzono hakadosh, to fulfill his great will. So we're not going to have time now to read this. I'll just tell you, he gives a mashal, and we'll try to apply this, and we'll continue, I guess, in 2 weeks after Shavuos. He gives a mashal of there was some city or something where people were endangered, and there was some great chacham who figured out what the danger was. Maybe he's a scientist, and he realized it was going to be an earthquake. He realized something bad was going to happen, and with his great wisdom, he was able to thwart it. He was able to stop this terrible catastrophe from happening. He was the only one who caught it. He was the only one who implemented a strategy to save the people from it. And it was a wonderful thing. And then they sent him a $1,000 check for doing so. And what is? And he's so happy. $1,000. This is great. Look at this guy. He makes a suda celebrating. I got $1,000. Guys, you wouldn't believe it. I got $1,000. You know what I'm going to do with this? Whatever you want to make a $10,000, whatever it might be. But any Ben Das looks at him is horrified. What you just did is so much greater than that reward. How can there's something wrong with the person? Why getting $1,000 is not a bad thing. But it's a simple mashal, but you just did something so much greater. He's saying if we truly understood what happens when we approach completion, when we purify our neshama, the effect that has on everything else. And again, we don't know what it means to give a nachas ruach to an infinite being who is lacking nothing, but somehow God set up the world that when we do mitzvahs, when we do the right thing, it gives him a nachas ruach. If we had an inkling, an understanding of what that is, I'd feel like the biggest fool. Again, it's very easy to say these words. It's a lot harder to process this, but I think this is a profound idea and needs a lot of mulling over. But then we wouldn't be able to think about our own development. We could only think about the greater good that is achieved. That's the idea that he's presenting here. Gives you 2 weeks to think about it, and then we'll try to we'll try to continue. It's an appropriate idea to take into Matan Torah. What does it mean to stand at Har Sinai? Ultimately, we're just the little dot, even though we are very big. But it's a much greater whole that we're seeking to bring completion to. Okay, continue after Shavuos. Thank you.